कर्म निर्हर परस्मिन् वातदर्पणं यजे यस्तव्यम् इति कृतग्भावः सत्कृतः कर्म निर्हारमुद्दिश्य परस्मिन् वातदर्पणं यजेद्यत् सव्यम् इति वा पृथग्भावः सत्कृतः कर्म निर्हारमुद्दिश्य परस्मिन् वातदर्पणं यजेद्यष्टव्यम् इति वा पृथग्भावः सत्कृतः
Fruitive activities. Nirharam. Freeing himself from. Udhishya. With the purpose of. Parasmin. To the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Va. Or. Tat Arpanam, offering the result of activities, Gajet, may worship, Yastavyam, to be worshipped, Iti, thus, Va, or, Pritak Bhava, separatist, Saha, he, Satvika, in the mode of goodness. When a devotee worships the Supreme Personality of Godhead and offers the result of his activities in order to free himself from the inebrieties of fruitive activities, his devotion is in the mode of goodness. The manifestation of unadulterated devotional service is exhibited when one's mind is at once attracted to hearing the transcendental name and qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is residing within everyone's heart. Just as the water of the Ganges flows naturally down towards the ocean, such devotional ecstasy, uninterrupted by any material condition, flows toward the Supreme Lord. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The basic principle of this unadulterated, pure devotional service is love of Godhead. Madguna Shruti Matrena means, just after hearing about the transcendental qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. These qualities are called nirguna. The Supreme Lord is uncontaminated by the modes of material nature. Therefore, he is attractive to the pure devotee. There is no need to practice meditation to attain such attraction. The pure devotee is always in the transcendental stage, and the affinity between him and the Supreme Personality of Godhead is natural and is compared to the Ganges water flowing toward the sea. The flow of the Ganges water cannot be stopped by any condition. Similarly, a pure devotee's attraction for the transcendental name, form, and pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot be stopped by any material condition. The word avichchina, without interruptions, is very important in this connection. No material condition can stop the flow of the devotional service of a pure devotee. The word ahoitaki means without reason, A pure devotee does not render loving service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead for any cause or for any benefit, material or spiritual. This is the first symptom of unalloyed devotion, anyabhilashita sunyam. He has no desire to fulfill by rendering devotional service. Such devotional service is meant for the Purushottam, the Supreme Personality, and not for anyone else. Sometimes pseudo-devotees show devotion to many demigods, thinking the forms of the demigods to be the same as the Supreme Personality of Godhead's form. It is specifically mentioned herein, however, that bhakti, devotional service, is meant only for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, Vishnu, or Krishna, not for anyone else. Avyavahita means without sensation. A pure devotee must engage in the service of the Lord 24 hours a day without sensation. His life is so molded that at every minute and every second he engages in some sort of devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Another meaning of the word avyavahita is that the interest of the devotee and the interest of the Supreme Lord are on the same level. The devotee has no interest but to fulfill the transcendental desire of the Supreme Lord. Such spontaneous service unto the Supreme Lord is transcendental and is never contaminated by the modes of material nature. These are the symptoms of pure devotional service, which is free from all contaminations of material nature. The manifestation of unadulterated devotional service is exhibited when one's mind is at once attracted to hearing the transcendental name and qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is residing within everyone's heart. Just as the water of the Ganges flows naturally down towards the ocean, such devotional ecstasy, uninterrupted by any material condition, flows towards the Supreme Lord. We are reading this morning the teachings of Lord Kapiladev to his beloved mother and devotee, Sri Devahuti. I skipped one verse, with your permission. I skipped one verse. Kapiladev has explained different types of devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He began by describing bhakti or devotion in the mode of ignorance. Then he explained bhakti in the mode of passion, bhakti in the mode of goodness, and now he is explaining pure, unadulterated, transcendental bhakti. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained in his Shikshastakam what is unadulterated bhakti. Na danam na janam na sundarim kavitam va jagadisha kamaye mama janamani janamanishwari bhavatad bhakti rahoi tikitvai. I do not want, my Lord, anything from you. Neither do I want any amount of wealth nor beautiful women for my sense gratification, nor do I want fame, prestige, followers. I do not even desire liberation. I only desire your causeless, unmotivated service, birth after birth after birth. Those who are in the mode of ignorance, they worship the Lord in an envious mood. in a proud mood, sometimes even in a violent and angry mood. They worship the Lord to fulfill the desires within their minds, born of such envy and vengefulness. Those who worship the Lord for fame, opulence, material enjoyment, considers this to be devotion in Rajaguna. And those who are just frustrated with all the results from worship in the mode of passion and ignorance, they want liberation. They want to be freed from all the bondage and sufferings due to one's fruitive activities. In other words, one wants cessation from pain. But this is to be considered also a material motivation. The Gaudiya Vaishnava acharyas, basing their teachings on the Srimad Bhagavatam, kick out any form of bhakti that is less than unmotivated, uninterrupted, loving devotional service. Even if we may not be on that standard now, we should keep it as the exclusive goal of our life. If our teachings are adulterated with anything less, then there is no hope for anyone to ever attain that. Whatever our particular platform may be, as far as our realization and our motivations, we should always be aspiring to settle for nothing less than ahoitiki apratihata, unmotivated, uninterrupted, loving service to the Lord. Because everything else is illusion. Everything else is maya. We have to have that conviction. And how do we gain that conviction? It is explained in this verse. We must develop a taste for hearing the transcendental message of Srimad Bhagavatam. We must be enthusiastic. We must be anxious and eager to hear Srimad Bhagavatam philosophy from the proper devotees of the Lord, who are honestly and humbly presenting through their life and through their teachings what is Srimad Bhagavatam. If we hear and if we serve such great souls, then the Lord becomes pleased with us. And ultimately, such a state of pure love cannot be attained by any endeavor, but it is received by the causeless mercy of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna through Gurudev. That is our only hope. Bhakti means how to attract the Lord through our sincere, eager desire to serve. It is this type of humility, to simply want to serve, that attracts the Lord. Krishna is Lakshminath. He's the husband of the goddess of fortune. He does not need any of our learned abilities to quote scriptures. He does not need our money. He does not need our influential position in society. But Krishna is longing to taste the sweetness of our humble devotion. Therefore, we must put as the supreme principle of our life humility and an ambitious desire to serve the servants of the Lord. This is what Krishna consciousness means. Krishna consciousness is nothing external. Unless this humility and this willingness to serve is expressed through our external actions and our external words, then they have no spiritual substance. Big, beautiful temples, wonderful lectures, big projects. These are wonderful and potent to the degree that the personalities who are behind these external expressions have captured the mood of humility and the desire to be the servant of the servant of the servant. Because it is only these two qualities that attract the power of God. And we find here in Navadvip the beautiful stories of such supremely exemplary devotees of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who taught us by their example what we should aspire for in life. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was at the Srivasangam, just shortly after he returned from Gaya Dham, he desired to fulfill all the wishes of his devotees. It was called the Mahaprakash Leela. He sat on the throne of Vishnu, and all the devotees, they knew he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and they so much desired to worship him in this way. So he called that you perform the Abhishek. So the devotees, singing the songs for bathing the Lord, began to bathe his beautiful golden body with scented waters from the Ganges. And he knew the devotees' hearts. They so much wanted to just give him everything. So just to satisfy his devotees, he decided to accept everything. He said, "I'm hungry. Please give me food." So they started bringing. And as soon as they would bring, he would eat it. They brought him pots of sweetmeats, sandesh, rasgullas. They brought condensed milk. They brought various types of cakes and dal. And he just, as soon as they brought it, he ate it. "Bring me more, bring me more." Then they were bringing him, literally, thousands of bunches of bananas, barrels of milk products. And within seconds, he was eating it all. However much the devotees were offering, he was immediately accepting. Very content, he began to bestow his grace upon his devotees. Murari Gupta, actually first he approached Srivas Thakur. He said, "Srivas, do you remember long ago when Devananda Pandit offended you?" Srivas was listening. He said, "I was there. And you should know, whatever pain he caused you was pain to my heart. Whatever we do to the Lord's devotee is what we do to the Lord. Krishna receives our offerings through his devotees. If we offend a devotee, we offend Krishna. If we please a devotee, we please Krishna." Devananda Pandit, he had no access to the path of pure bhakti until he begged forgiveness from Srivas Thakur. We should know that the Vaishnavas are so dear to Lord Sri Krishna that the supreme goal of our life should be to please them. And the supreme fear of our life should be to offend them. one devotee. She was one of Srila Prabhupada's disciples. She was preaching in an African country. It was a terrible revolution. Hundreds of people were being murdered every day. There were threats to the devotees' lives. She wrote me a letter in this situation. And she said, and she was completely sincere. She said, "I am not afraid of being tortured and killed. I'm only afraid of offending a Vaishnava. That is the only fear in my whole life. If I die in the service of the Lord, that's a wonderful mercy upon me. So why should I fear death if I'm engaged in devotional service? But to offend a Vaishnava means to give pain to Krishna. This I fear." Just days after this letter, she was killed. But was she killed? Not at all. Any devotee with this consciousness, we should know that they are always with Krishna. Krishna knows where such dedicated souls can best serve him. And such dedicated souls are willing to go anywhere and do anything by the Lord's desire. Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called Ganga Das. He said, "Ganga Das, do you remember many long years ago when the Muslim king came to arrest you and your family, and the soldiers were there, and you knew that they would probably molest and torture your family members and perhaps kill all of you? So you ran to flee for your life, and the soldiers were coming, and you came to the Ganges, and it was night, and all the boats, the boatmen were already sleeping. There was no boats. So you were crying, 'My Lord, please protect. Protect these devotees.' At that time, out of nowhere, do you remember that a boatman came in the middle of the night and said, 'Please come upon this boat,' and took you to safety? Do you remember this? Let me tell you, I was that boatman. I personally incarnated just to protect you, because you cried out my holy name." We should know that any material situation, if we sincerely pray to the Lord and chant His name, we are protected. A devotee does not calculate things by material arrangement. A devotee calculates everything on the basis of his faith. Kaunteya pratijanehi name bhakta pranashiti. Krishna will always protect his devotee. I don't have to worry about the environment around me. I only have to worry one thing. Am I sincerely and humbly and honestly trying to serve my Gurudev and the Vaishnavas? If I'm doing that, then Krishna will protect. In death, he'll send me back to Godhead. And in life, what can anyone do? All of our considerations is based on our faith in what we have heard from Guru and Krishna. We should not put our faith in anything of this world, because it is a world of cheaters and the cheated. The educational systems, the scientific world, they are all cheaters and cheated. They are all explaining to us what they are receiving through imperfect sense perception. Therefore, whatever the situation that may come upon us, there's no need to fear or worry. Krishna will protect us. How he protects us? Krishna can do anything. For Ambarish Maharaj, Duravas Muni sent that terrible fiery demon which was powerful enough to consume the whole world. And Ambarish just folded his palms. Mare Krishna Rake Ke Rake Krishna Mare. Krishna, if you want to kill me, then this demon will kill me. Very nice. And if you want to protect me, there's nothing this massive firing demon can do to harm one hair on my head. We must have that faith. That Krishna is the supreme controller of all controllers. And he always hears the prayers of his devotees. When Gangadas Pandit heard this, he fell to the floor crying in ecstatic love. My Lord, you incarnated as a boatman just to protect me? And then he called Kolavecha Sridhar. And when Sridhar came to fulfill his desire, he manifested the beautiful form of Lord Krishna, black like the tamal tree, playing upon his flute with Lord Balaram at his side. And Sridhar was so much happy. He saw the personified Ganges, his worshipful Gurudev. Worshipable. He worshipped the Ganges because of her great devotion to the Lord. He saw her worshipping Krishna and Balaram. All his desires were completely fulfilled. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to Sridhar, you ask any boon, any benediction. I can give you opulence like the King of Heaven. You are such a poor man. You have no proper food, no proper clothing. You're living in poverty. I can give you the 8 mystic perfections. I can give you liberation. I can give you elevation to Vaikuntha, the spiritual world. Ask anything. He said, I don't want any of these things, my Lord. I'm not a businessman. I am not worshipping you with any desire for anything in return. But if you insist upon giving me something just to please you, my Lord, I will ask for one benediction. That little boy Nimai that would come to my banana stalls to steal my banana flowers, let me always remember that. Let me always see you coming to steal whatever I have to enjoy to your full satisfaction. That was the only benediction he desired, that he could always remain his servant. He could always please the Lord. And then he called Murari Gupta, who is a great devotee of Sri Ram, and he manifested his beautiful form of Ramchandra. And when they saw all the devotees, they were all witnessing these wonderful transformations. There was Ram and Sita and Lakshman, and Murari Gupta was so happy. And the Lord said, ask any benediction. What can I give you? How can I fulfill your desires? What did Murari Gupta ask for? Said Gauranga Mahaprabhu, please, if it pleases you to give me something, then give me this boon. That birth after birth, I may always be in the association of your devotees, engaged in your loving service. That whatever the material situation may be, that I may never give up the association of your devotees and never give up serving your lotus feet. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then called Haridas Thakur. Haridas, do you remember when those demoniac, brutal executioners were beating you with sticks and clubs and whips? Do you remember that? At that time, I had my Sudarshan Chakra,
And I was ready to sever those demons' heads.
But the whole while, Haridas, you were chanting my holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
He was not chanting like that. He was getting beat with whips and clubs. He was chanting very intensely and very loudly.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
We're having transcendental competition. Who can best chant in the mood of Haridas Thakur?
And while you were chanting, your mind was fixed in one prayer. Please, my Lord, please forgive these people for all the abuse that they are inflicting upon me. Please be merciful to them and give them your loving service. And although I was so angry to kill them, the power of your forgiveness, compassion, and prayer was so much that my Sudarshan chakra would not move off my finger. I had no power to release it. The power of your love for them defeated my power to kill them. Therefore, what was I to do? I couldn't just stand and watch you being beaten this way. So in order to protect you, I covered your body with my own. And I took all the beatings. And then Gauranga Mahaprabhu opened up his chatter and revealed to Haridas and to all the devotees all the terrible, brutal marks of the beating on his own back. And Haridas fell to the ground weeping in transcendental love. Mahaprabhu asked Haridas, please ask me for some benediction. What desire can I fulfill for you? I would like all of you to meditate. If the Lord were to come before you and ask you, I will fulfill any desire you have. Realistically, what would you ask for? And even now, when you come to the temple and come before the Lord, who is standing right before us, what are you praying for? Haridas Thakur, with so much humility, he began to explain that I am an untouchable. I am completely wretched. It's an embarrassment to even consider myself a Vaishnava. But your causeless mercy is so great, my Lord, that you've given me the association of your devotees. There's only one benediction I desire. That birth after birth after birth, my Lord, I may always have the supreme fortune of receiving the remnants of the food from your devotees. That is all I ask. Even if I must take birth as a dog in the house of your Vaishnava to receive his food remnants, let me take that birth. Sri Haridas Thakur ki. And it was because of this humility
that he was able to always chant the holy names.
Trinarapi sunichena tarorapi sahishnana amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari.
One must be humble like a blade of grass.
So grass, we step on it, we spit on it.
Sometimes we do all other things on it.
To be more humble than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree, ready to offer all respect to others and to expect none for ourselves. Only in this consciousness and in no other consciousness can we constantly chant the holy name, Kirtaniya Sada Hari.
And it is because Haridas had such humility that he simply wanted the remnants from the Vaishnavas that the Lord gifted him with the power to constantly chant the holy names.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
While he was giving such mercy to all the devotees, and he was praising them with such satisfaction, we should know that the Lord, his greatest pleasure is to praise his devotees. So how much pleasure we can give him if we praise his devotees. Meanwhile, Srivas approached Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and said, Sri Gauranga, you are giving everyone such wonderful, special mercy, filling everyone's hearts with your love. But your dear devotee, Mukunda, you are completely neglecting him. You will not even look in his direction. And he's right just behind this pillar and he's weeping. Please call him forward and show him your mercy. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was in the mood of fulfilling everyone's desires, he began to speak, that wretched Mukunda, keep him away from me. He's an imposter. It's all nonsense. He says, first, he comes into the association of devotees and he sings very sweetly my glories. And then he goes out and he begins to beat me with sticks and cause pain to me. He begins to associate. Associate with those philosophers who declare that the Lord has no arms, has no legs, has no eyes. The Lord who is formless, whose body is an illusion. When people speak this way, they are actually cutting off my arms, blinding my eyes, and cutting off my legs. Mukunda is such a person. Mukunda began to weep and cry. He cried out, my Lord, will you never again give me your darshan? And the Lord replied in a tumultuous voice, after 10 million births, you will see me again. And Mukunda became so happy. He began to dance in transcendental ecstasy, tears flowing from his eyes, soaking his clothes, saying, only 10 million births, only 10 million births, and I will have the blessed darshan of the Lord. At that time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, seeing the humility of Mukunda, he immediately came forward and embraced him.
He was content without any results for his devotional service to go on surrendering to the Lord, serving the Lord, and pleasing the Lord's devotees for 10 million births. As long as he knew that someday the Lord would be merciful to him. This is unconditional love. When the Lord does not fulfill one of our whimsical desires in this tiny lifetime, sometimes we start to lose faith. How many people leave the Krishna consciousness movement because Krishna does not arrange their material life according to their expectations? Krishna will test you. And if you remain faithful, without expectation of any selfish desires to be fulfilled, then you are qualified to actually be a devotee. Later on, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling through South India, there's another beautiful example of unalloyed devotion. The leper named Vasudev. He was suffering so bad that there was literally worms eating away his rotted flesh. Millions of worms. Can you imagine the painful condition? We get one mosquito bite and we're thinking, Lord, why have you done this to me? We're a little sick, we're a little tired, we're a little hungry, and our whole consciousness is ruined. Huh? Like here we are in the Yatra of Navadvip. Some of us are not getting so much sleep. Yesterday was Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati's birthday. So we fasted till moonrise. I'm weak, I'm cold, I'm sick, and I'm hungry. This is what I've come to the Holy Dham for? Hariyo! Yes! That's what you came to the Holy Dham for. You haven't come to the Holy Dham to eat or to sleep. You haven't come to the Holy Dham to beg the boon of good health. You've come for purification. And what is purification? Krishna tests you. Will you complain, or will you just go on enthusiastically serving the devotees and chanting his holy names under any circumstance? Are you willing to do that? Even though you know within a couple hours prasad will come. Can you even hold out that long and be enthusiastic to chant? Mukunda was willing to wait 10 million years and go on chanting. Vasudev, Haribo, like Vasudev. But imagine, head to toe you are covered with leprosy, your body is being devoured by worms. How would you chant the holy names?
Condition. But yet, he never complained. Krishna You are the supreme controller of all controllers. Not a blade of grass can move without your sanction. Why throughout my life I have to suffer this terrible disease of leprosy? He never asked that question. He gratefully, with pure love and devotion, just continued chanting the holy names. Krishna is the supreme controller. Without his sanction, the electricity cannot go off. He just wanted us to chant Hare Krishna. Krishna performs here in Navadvip Dham, Gaur Hari. When he was a little baby, he would cry. And the only way to stop his crying was when all the young ladies of the neighborhood would come together. And then he would smile. So nicely he would smile. His beautiful, loving face. By his crying, he was tricking them into coming together to loudly chant his holy names. So in the same way, if he likes, he can take off the electricity just so that there's nothing else we can do. We're powerless to continue the class. We just have to come together to chant. Just like Lord Gaur Hari, that brilliant effulgent smile would come upon them when they chanted. Similarly, he turned the electricity back on. So Vasudev continued in his life of devotion. No material expectations. But he had one hope. He heard that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was going to be at the home of the Kurma Brahman. So with great difficulty he walked to that place. But when he arrived, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had already left. He was gone. Mahaprabhu prays, Ashlasya vapada tadampanashtu mama darshanam maramahatam karotuva. If you like, you can embrace me. If you like, you can trample upon me. If you like, you can make me brokenhearted by not being present before me. You have any right to do anything you please. How this great Vaishnava was tested. After suffering terribly and chanting the holy name, never giving up his faith and his worship through the most terrible, difficult situations. Understand, in those days when you had leprosy, it was not only a physical torture, but it was complete ostracization from society. He was an outcast. No one wanted to look at him. No one wanted to touch him. No one wanted to be near him. But he didn't ask for anything else. And after all that, he was coming to see his Lord. And his Lord left. Still, his heart, so full of faith, devotion, so unconditional, yet he just wept. I am so sinful, my Lord, but you are so merciful. Seeing his humility, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after testing his devotee, he returned. And when he returned, he came to embrace Vasudev. Vasudev, he had pus, and he had blood, and he had worms, and he had a contagious disease all over his body.
But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu does not see any material condition. He only sees the love in the heart of his devotee, and he embraced Vasudeva. And when he embraced him, his leprosy vanished. Not only that, his body became completely whole, completely healthy, and it had a beautiful effulgence like a devata. Now, ask yourself this question. If you were suffering for so many long years, the terrible disease of leprosy, and you were banished from society because of it, if the Lord came and cured you, would you be happy? Would you be happy? If you would be happy, say Hari Bol. If you'd be very happy, chant very Hari Bol. Vasudev was not happy. Why wasn't he happy? Because he was thinking, as long as I have this leprosy, and as long as I'm an outcast from society, I have nothing to be proud of. And if you're not proud, then your heart is a proper environment for devotion to grow. But he said to the Lord, now I have achieved your special mercy. And everyone will know that I have received the special mercy of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. He has performed a miracle of curing me from leprosy. You have chosen me of everyone. Now I may become proud. And if I become proud, then everything is ruined. What is the use of a nice body if you are not pleasing Krishna? Because whatever service you render, if it is mixed with pride, it is not pleasing to Krishna. You can offer wonderful, wonderful donations. You can offer wonderful, wonderful hard work. Wonderful discourses. But if you're proud, Srila Prabhupada used the example like sweet rice mixed with sand. That pride is like sand. It makes your offering distasteful to Krishna. Vasudeva didn't care for his own mental or physical condition. He only cared, am I pleasing Krishna? And if I'm proud, I cannot please him. So please, my Lord, protect me. How can I not become proud even after you've given me such opulence? Mahaprabhu told him, you be the servant of the servant of the servant. And how can you best serve? Whoever you meet, you serve them by telling them about Krishna. And you always chant the holy names.
Hare!
Chant much louder when the electricity's not working. This is evidence when there's some material difficulty, we take shelter of the holy. But we shouldn't be like that. Whether Krishna gives or doesn't give, we should very loudly cry out his name.
Navadvip Dham Ki, Shri Mayapur Dham Ki, Shri Radha Madhava Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Sri Harinam Sankirtan Ki, Shri Gaur Bhakta Brinda Ki.
So here in Navadvip, in the beautiful Leela of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, we find the most super excellent exhibitions of pure, unalloyed devotion to the Lord. So let us pray for this. Let us strive for this. And let us come together only for this purpose. By hearing the glories of the Lord, by chanting the glories of the Lord, by endeavoring to be the humble servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord,
It's so simple. Then Krishna, by his causeless mercy, coming through Sri Gurudev, bestows this most valuable treasure, this pure, unalloyed desire to serve. He bestows it within our heart. Srila Prabhupada was such an eternal associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We have all heard this story so many times, and the more we hear it, the more we appreciate how he left the beautiful land of Vrindavan. He left Radha Damodar temple, the nicest place in Vrindavan, at the lotus feet of Rupa Goswami and Jiva Goswami, the lotus feet of Radha Damodar, next to Seva Kunj, where everyone is chanting Radhe Radhe, Hari Bol, Hare Krishna. Everyone is chanting. And his life was so simple, so pleasant. And he crossed the ocean, penniless, knowing no one. Heart attacks, poverty, his life being threatened in a strange and cold land. He didn't mind any of these torturous physical afflictions. He only wanted to serve his Gurudev, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. Let whatever comes, let it come. But I have faith, my dear Gurudev, that if I please you and serve you, then my life is perfect. This is the nature of the true associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One time Srila Prabhupada was in his beautiful, luxurious quarters in Los Angeles, and he told to one of his disciples, "Do you remember that little simple room I had in Radha Damodar?" He said, "I long to go back there." He said, "But that would be sense gratification, because my Gurudev wants me here." We must follow in the footsteps of such great souls and learn to be selfless. We're not concerned with our own liberation. We're not even so much concerned with our own spiritual advancement. We're concerned simply with pleasing Gurudev, pleasing the Vaishnavas, and pleasing Krishna. By living pure, by following the regulative principles carefully, by regularly hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, by attentively chanting the holy names, and with a mood of simply trying to please the Vaishnavas, we should be willing to do anything and everything. And we come to Sri Navadvip Dham to imbibe these principles within our life. So we are so fortunate. On behalf of all the devotees that have come from Bombay, we want to offer our deepest gratitude to all of the devotees here in Sridhar Mayapur for their great kindness and love upon us. What to speak of their tolerance upon us. Srila Jaipatak Maharaj, Srila Bhakti Charu Maharaj, Mahaniri Maharaj, Dairam Prabhu, Radha Charan, they have endured great inconveniences because of our presence. But like the true followers of Mahaprabhu, they are simply smilingly giving us Krishna Prema. So on behalf of all devotees, we want to take the dust of your lotus feet and pray that you be kind upon us, pray for us, and bless us.
Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna! Hare Krishna!
Srila Prabhupada ki. Sri Mayapur Dham ki. Hariyo. Thank you very much. The conclusion of all of the great scriptures and the teachings of all the great saints is to sincerely chant the holy names of Krishna. So let us unite, join together in very, very sincerely calling out the pure transcendental vibration of God's holy name. Please rise.